Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Sandra.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to Richard in Stars Hollow.
Yes. I guess it's been a while since I saw this episode. I thought I felt differently than I did about it, than I actually did.
It's not as heartwarming as Emily in Wonderland.
Yes.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. But we have a summary to do, and this week it is by Jess.
It is, so. And I'm really glad that I did well last time, because I think it's going to make up for how poorly I'm going to do this time. We'll see, though. We'll see.
This can only go well.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it. 3, 2, 1, go.
Richard is retired, and he's driving Emily nuts, so Emily sends him to Stars Hollow for the day. Rory is dealing with paper drama, and Paris wants to find the seedy underbelly of Stars Hollow. Rory becomes the face of censorship in Stars Hollow by accident, and Richard tells Lorelai what to do with her life, and it does not go over well. Jess also arrives. Where has he been all these past episodes? And Dean has built her a car.
I mean, you had like 2 seconds to spare, and I think you got everything.
I feel like there really wasn't a lot in this episode to push into the summary.
Yeah. Oh, well, it was not the funniest summary, but I think, I mean.
It works.
It worked, like, yeah.
A few big key points in this episode, and then a lot of drama. And I'm excited to talk about it with you guys.
Well, I would agree.
As we start this episode, I just want to give a formal apology to our listeners for last week, us saying that last week's episode was never mentioned again. It does get a mention in this episode.
One time today. Yep. I made the same note.
There is a tiny little reference, so we're so sorry. Apparently, last episode did exist.
Who knew? For one more week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But in this episode, we do start a Friday night dinner, and we're actually in the drinks portion of the dinner.
Okay, just so we are all 100% on the same page. No point this week on the summary, correct?
Oh, yeah. No, you're just totally fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure we were fully confirmed.
It is actually... Wait. Getting a point is bad, right?
Yes. Points are bad.
Okay. Oh, God. We're never going to be good at this. Jess, in the clear.
But we do jump right into a Friday night dinner, and this is a funny one. It's mm-hmm. I mean, it's dark, but at the same time, it's nice to see the girls getting along,
and that's kind of what's happening. She's like, it's never what you thought it was. And I was like, yeah, you're completely right. Because honestly, I forgot where this conversation was going.
Yeah.
Until she says it.
Poor Aunt Cecile with her bad knock-knock jokes.
Apparently that's enough to get you kicked out of your eternal resting place in the Gilmore clan.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. My family, full disclosure, does not have a mausoleum.
Mine doesn't either.
I can't imagine.
We're not even all in the same cemetery.
Right? Exactly. Like, I can't imagine somebody getting, like, moved. Yikes.
Although, I will say, in Colombia, you do have to buy your space early. So, like, my mom already has her space, which is really weird for me.
Yeah.
Like, that is terrifying.
I think that there's space, like, in the family plot. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything assigned to me, but there's, like, you know, when you, like, go to visit it, there's, like, some space, you know, for
us. So I went to visit my grandparents' grave I think this was 2 or 3 years ago. And then I just happened to look next to him and saw, like, my aunt and uncle's name on the gravestone, like, spot already assigned. They're not dead, just so we're clear. So wow. I called my aunt up and I was like, I need to be prepared for this. Why didn't you tell me you had a grave already?
I mean, to have your names on a headstone already, that is, like, some true pre-planning. That is some, like, Emily level
that is shit. Names, like, date morbid, of birth, right? All that's missing is date of death.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen that with, like, husband and wife gravestones, where, like, mm-hmm. the husband has already died, but the wife hasn't, but her name is already put there.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that's a little creepy.
I think it's because the cemetery in my tiny little small town is filling up.
Like, yeah.
And ideally, long term, I think they're hoping that by the time they die, it will probably be full. And my aunt really wanted to be buried next to my grandma and grandpa, which I get.
Oh, yeah.
What a morbid start.
I yelled at her. I was like, I need to be mentally prepared to see your name on a tombstone.
Yeah. And it's also just, it's pretty wild that this conversation comes out of, are you dating?
Are you dating anyone?
Oh, yeah. Like, she's really, are you single? What about the guy who doesn't shave in the diner?
Does Luke Danes need a plot in our mausoleum is essentially what she asks.
Because if episode. He does, and Cecile's out.
Yeah.
And they completely disregard Rory having anybody married. Right? Like, mm-hmm. well, once you two, that's it. So, Lorelai, do you have anybody? Obviously, like, I get Rory's a teenager. She's not gonna know.
Would Rory be, like, theoretically, if she was married to Logan, would she be in the Huntsburgers? Like, this is such a weird...
I don't know. I mean, I think it depends.
Like, are they planning on Rory marrying Rich and going into her husband's family mausoleum?
But then
it sounds like they're planning on her being in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, what if any of these people want to be cremated? You know? That doesn't seem to be an option.
Well, then you just go on a shelf.
Yes.
In the mausoleum. Actually, no, doesn't this happen? Trix ends up on their mantle, or, well, her will says to put him on her mantle.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Anyway, this is just, like, the cold open, and this is never referred to again, at least
I will,
not in this episode.
Mention, there's a little bit of codependence from Lorelai, of Rory can just be stuffed in with her. She's, again, very morbid. I'm very sorry.
I'm with Rory on that conversation. Yeah. I want my own eternal resting spot.
Space. Thank you. Yeah.
But while this is happening, Richard does come down, agrees with Lorelai that mm-hmm. Aunt Cecile needs to be gone. And we get that, like, we go into...
Real quick.
Yeah.
On that scene when Richard comes downstairs, and it's very subtle. Like, I had to rewind it to make sure that this happens. But when Richard agrees with, oh, Aunt Cecile, horrid woman, Emily and Lorelai both do the exact same thing. They both, like, lift their left hand up and just, like, yep, see, we're right. And it's, like, perfectly in sync. And if you're not watching them, you don't see it.
There is a couple moments in this episode where Lorelai and Emily are definitely, like, either in sync.
The same person.
Yeah, exactly.
Where this it's is like, honestly,
oh, this is definitely her daughter.
Maybe this is a hot take, but I think this is one of the most positive Lorelai-Emily episodes that we've had.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely not the most positive Lorelai and Richard episode we've ever
had. Oh, absolutely not. Well, no.
And but especially coming off of last week's episode, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where Lorelai was, you know, trying her damnedest to fight with Emily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not accept help.
Well, I'll even say, like, in this next scene when we're having dinner, when they're having dinner, rather, Emily looks amused at Lorelai's little rant about, like, don't ask what it is, because if you ask, you're not going to like the answer.
Yeah, she definitely
does. She smiles. Knows.
Yeah.
Because she knows.
That it's true. Mm-hmm. Guys, I would not eat pancreas.
Yeah,
I'm not an adventurous eater.
I'm not an organ meat kind of gal. Nothing against it, but...
And you know, Emily, like, points to her own stomach when she says it. Like, it's human pancreas. No, sweetbreads is not human pancreas. But the way Emily says it and, like, points at her own stomach makes me think, ah, cannibal meals. Okay, great. 2 weeks in a row.
If anyone was a cannibal in this family,
it would probably be Emily.
Oh my gosh. Our darkest episode yet, and we're less than 10 minutes in.
Okay.
How did we get here?
Well, you know, Richard is noticing things.
Yes, Richard doesn't have a job anymore, and so he's starting to notice that he lives in a house with somebody who actually has her own life.
Yeah.
What?
And I love that Emily has her own life. Because, like, sometimes she's painted as just the woman who stays home and does basically nothing with her time. I don't know what. But now, as we're the season's going on, we're getting more insight into she's the co-chair of this. She's going to luncheons. She's doing everything.
Emily has a busy day. She has a lot of responsibilities. It's just not in the form of a normal 9-to-5 kind of job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, I would much rather have Emily's busy days than my busy days. Because her busy days include things like getting a manicure or getting your hair done. My busy days are like, I was in meetings for 5 hours on Tuesdays. You know, like,
yeah.
Different strokes. But Richard is noticing everything. And in this scene, we kind of start to see that it's bugging Emily. Like, her face falls a little bit when Richard starts talking about what he's been up to. Because Lorelai's like, what are you up to now, Dad? But we don't see the full picture until later.
Lorelai tries to ask, and she gets denied, but then immediately Emily starts to confide in her. Like,
I mean,
Richard is hovering.
Lorelai call out, like, you full-blown pulled a Tabitha or something on Emily's face twitching while Richard's talking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out what that was a reference to, but I did not get very far, so if anybody knows.
Well, it's not a reference that I'm covering this week, so if someone else knows. But Rory, we move on to Chilton, and it's the Franklin meeting, and Paris hates every submission that was given.
Mm-hmm.
Except Rory's. She says no so many times.
Because nobody cares except Rory.
Except Rory. No, I know you care. Which is nice.
It's
honestly
that
character
caught me off
progression
guard from Paris, though.
Yeah.
To like, all of you suck except Rory. Like, you're good. You're doing a good job. I like you. But everybody else sucks. It's like, oh, Paris, you finally figured out that
Rory cares
is not horrible.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get the Oppenheimer Award for Excellence in School Journalism.
And now, make every other newspaper in the country feel like absolute garbage.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Were you guys in newspaper-esque clubs? I think we have touched on this before, but just in case.
Oh, yeah. I was, like, absolutely in newspaper. I was the, like, youngest person on our newspaper staff in 11 years because I was obsessed with being Rory Gilmore. Like, I was on the newspaper staff because of this show. And I loved it. It was, like, that was my high school activity. I didn't do any sports. I did a little bit of drama. But, like, newspaper was my thing.
How about you,
Emily? Yeah, I just, marching band was the only thing I did.
Right. Yeah. I wish I had that experience, because, like, this looks like fun. Even with Paris, like, going off the way she does, like, the way Rory handles the situation of, like, okay, let's everyone get to work, and everyone's collaborating, and that looks like a lot of fun, and I wish I would have done it in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and my newspaper staff, we never competed for anything like the Oppenheimer Award, but we did go out for awards at journalism conventions, you know, in our state, in our region. And though none of my editors were ever as cutthroat as Paris, like, you know, when you start comparing your paper to other schools' papers, you do kind of get that Paris mindset of, like, no, we're better than all the student papers. Like, we're competing with, I'm from Seattle area, and so we'd be like, we're competing with the Seattle Times. Like, we want to be that good. We were not that good. We were never that good. But I love any time we get the Franklin, because it really takes me back to those periods of time. But yeah, Paris, I love what Paris does in this episode, guys. I think this is a really fun Paris episode. We had a lot of her being, like, kind of awful. And this is finally, like, we're getting fun Paris.
But we had nice Paris at the Bracebridge dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we're gradually getting to lifetime friendship Rory and Paris.
Yes. Although, at this point, Rory is still, like, a little, I want to say aggressive towards Paris. Like, she's not friendly towards Paris yet.
No, I think, but also Paris is really friendlier. Paris hasn't earned it.
Yeah.
I'd say for Rory, she's just, like, matching the tone that she gets from Paris. So, like, for Rory, she's aggressive. But I would say it's because Paris is so aggressive that she responds to that better than, well, hey, what about this? Or that's why don't we try this? And I think Rory has read Paris enough to be like, no, you basically have to yell at her to get her to listen to you.
And people are like that. You know, you mirror your...
Yeah.
How you're going to act towards other people. One thing I love is when teenagers admit that they're just kids. Because they are just kids. But it's always funny when it's teenagers when they admit it.
Because most of the time, teenagers, me included, I did this too. Yeah. Like, I'm 16. I'm an adult.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, honey. Yeah. Oh, honey, sweetie baby.
It was not until I, as an adult, went back and worked at a high school that I was like, I knew nothing. These kids know nothing. And I mean, admittedly, I feel like young people have to grow up a lot faster today, even than when we were growing up, you know, 10, 20 years ago. But still, 16, like, they're kids.
You're officially grown up when you watch The Little Mermaid and King Triton is like, you're 16. And she's like, I'm 16. I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm like, oh, honey, yes, you are. You want to throw your life away for a boy who you've never talked to.
You're an adult once you start realizing the reason they use actors that are 25 to play 16-year-olds is a good thing. Because then you're not, like,
violating child labor laws.
Yeah. And you're not watching a 16-year-old hook up with another 16-year-old. You're watching adults.
Well, speaking of adults, over at the Gilmore Mansion, we have two adults who are both adulting in their own way. Emily has a busy morning. She's drinking her coffee.
Her third cup of coffee.
And Richard doesn't have a morning routine because his morning routine used to be getting up at 5:30 and going to work. And so now he just sits around noticing his wife. I think that this is a really sweet scene, but at the same time, it would drive me absolutely crazy.
I get
crazy.
Emily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely understand Emily.
I get myself.
I'm going to point out anytime that there's any stereotypical racism or just racism in general, because that's just who I am. And I notice it every time, like as a Hispanic person watching this. In any show, there's a lot of shows in the 2000s where the maid was always a Spanish woman. And here it was a very stereotypical Spanish name, Graciela. And like... the way she speaks to her is not great. You don't even see the woman. Mm-hmm. She's not even in the scene, but Emily is just screaming out to the ether. And she's being rude. But, I mean, Emily is rude with her maids.
At this point, she's just being Emily.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just a quick point out. Like, don't like it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we go through, at least two different house staff in one episode here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they work at the same time or what the situation is, but we have at least two.
So we have Graciela at the beginning, and then the very last scene. In the very last scene, we have Heloise.
Yeah.
And that was something I noticed. I was like, okay, is one a maid, one a cook? Or did she literally go through two maids in one episode? Like, there's obviously just no explanation for
it. I mean, it's been a week, so it might just... She might have been just fired, to be honest. Yeah.
Or, you know what? Maybe Graciela said, I don't like the way you talk to me. I'm not going to work for you.
Yeah, maybe that's why she wasn't in the scene. She wasn't even there. She was like,
Geez. She walked out. But either way, Richard starts inviting himself to all of Emily's activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has a luncheon. She has the Daughters of the American Revolution. He's like, oh, I'll go with you. And it's not until she says, well, I'm having a hair appointment.
Which she looks super excited to mention. Oh, no, you can't. I have a hair appointment.
My hair done every Wednesday at 3.
But guys, it's okay because she can cancel that.
No.
It's like, your hair looks nice. You can cancel it. And she's like, it looks nice because I get it done every Wednesday at 3. I completely understand why she is literally shoving him out the door at the end of the scene. sending him off to the club because he's getting in her way. He can't, I mean, obviously we'll see throughout this episode, but Richard is kind of scrambling, trying to figure out who he is now. And mm-hmm. at this moment, he's trying to just kind of become Emily. He's like, well, I'll just do what she does. Maybe that's what I can do. But
like, I finds understand better options later. That he has a struggle. Because, I mean, obviously this is a big thing. My grandpa has gone through the same thing when he retired and, you know, not knowing what to do. But globbing onto your wife and wanting to go to literally every single thing she does, and then the first thing that doesn't match to what you want to do, well, just cancel it. Like, that's just so inappropriate and rude. And I almost say it's prime Gilmore. Mm-hmm. It really is. Because mm-hmm. it's, well, I don't want to do it, so don't do it.
Yeah.
And granted, they don't normally Gilmore each other.
Yeah.
But they Gilmore, well, they Gilmore'd Cecile.
Poor Cecile, and she was probably a Gilmore.
Well, she's in the family mausoleum.
Yeah. Maybe she married in.
Emily convinces Richard to go to the club. And just as a quick Google search, I did not search this up. Because she says, like, you spend a fortune to go there and you barely go. It seems like monthly dues are about $2,000 a month or more, depending on the club.
Which is for, like, a nice rent. Club? Oh, yeah.
In today's.
Which is, like, rent for the average person.
Oh, my gosh. Life. Yeah, that's more than my rent. Like,
yeah, that's more than my rent.
I live in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's close to my rent. It's not a whole lot higher.
It's would be like $200 higher than what we pay, which is crazy. Same.
And it's something that he's apparently not even like actively using, right? If she's telling mm-hmm. him, you pay all this money, you never go. I wish I just had $2,000 to drop on like
a month,
right?
And not like, even notice.
Yeah.
My luxurious purchase is like, I pay for the Hulu without ads. And sometimes I only watch, like, 5 hours of Hulu over the span of 2 weeks. But, like, I feel like I'm still getting my money's worth.
I don't. And I wish I do. I wish I did. Because the ads on Hulu suck.
Yeah.
So nobody much. Tell anybody this. But me and my mom and my grandma all share individual streams. So, like, one of us has Hulu. One of us has Netflix. So we can get, you know, without the ads or the HD mm-hmm. and extra screens mm-hmm. or whatever.
To be fair, don't I do that with my friends with Disney Plus and HBO Max yep. because they're so yep. expensive. So, get it.
In my defense, when Disney Plus came out, or I guess shortly before it came out, they had a special going on of like $150 for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was like, I did that too. Yeah. You mm-hmm. know that price is going up. Sign mm-hmm. up immediately. I was like, Sean, do we have this money available to pay for Disney Plus?
Well, speaking of consumerism. We go to Stars Hollow Video, and oh first off, the first thing I want to mention is there's an advertisement for Grand Theft Auto, the video game.
Oh. Ooh.
Yes.
And I couldn't tell if it was the third one or the fourth it one. Is. It's the third it's one? Okay.
Well, I don't think an official four has come out. Yeah, it was
Vice City.
Grand Theft Auto but I don't fourth. Think it was ever labeled as four.
Oh, it was
GTA
Vice City.
Vice City.
Okay. Well, since then... Right, and this was filmed in 2002. It is mm-hmm. now 2022. There's mm-hmm. only been two iterations of Grand Theft Auto since.
And don't been follow promising. The video game freeze on... there are so many memes about this because we have gone through two consoles
yeah.
with this game. And I think last year, or maybe at the beginning of last year, GTA was like, hey, new, like, redone, upgraded... version of GTA 3, and everybody was like, this is shit. Give us a new game.
And so they finally said, okay, Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming out. There's no, like, date. There's nothing. Yeah, it's just a vague, it's coming.
I played a lot of the last GTA. It came out when I was in college, and I, like, got myself an Xbox subscription so I could, you know, play online. My problem is I'm just not a very competitive or aggressive video game person. Yeah. So I just wanted to make friends. And let me tell you, it's really hard to make friends. Not when you're standing there waving and they're running you down, or you play golf with them and then they run you down, or you get in their airplane and then they eject and you crash. That was my experience with GTA. But I love this scene because I think we've talked about it before, the whole, like, video rental world. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It just felt so nostalgic to see all of those movies lined up. And this was
all,
like,
the VHS tapes.
Right? And there was
no DVDs.
Oh, everywhere.
The posters.
I want to go back.
The legit cases.
Mm-hmm.
None of the hard cases. They're all, like, the paper tape covers.
I know neither of you guys are Dawson's Creek watchers, but in Dawson's Creek, they worked at the video store. So this reminded me actually a lot of that as well, because it was like the same kind of setup. And the posters in the background, it is really nostalgic. I remember when we used to go to Blockbuster, and like you would always pick the candy in the aisles, right?
Yeah.
And they would sell popcorn too, but I don't think we ever got that. But I do remember getting the candies, and like they would have the Willy Wonka candies.
Ooh,
yes.
Yeah. I would love them so much.
A couple of times we got the bucket popcorn where it was like the big bucket. Because you could like put
supposed to be like movie theater pump.
Yeah. So good. But Kirk is working there today.
Of course he is.
And there's like this tiny little moment in this scene that turns into a plot point, which is there are two little boys sitting on the floor looking at one of the movie cases. And Rory just looks over and notices there's a half-naked woman on it, and she mentions it to Kirk. Super just casual. Nope, nothing is casual in Stars Hollow. And we'll get to that later.
Kirk specifically wants to know where and what shelf, you know, so he can put it away. Right?
I thought that was out of character.
Not so he can go stare at it.
For him to be like, is she blonde? It is. Right, I thought that was out of character. I don't know.
We're still working out the Kirk kinks.
Yeah, I guess.
Literally.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. What was your first rated R film?
Armageddon.
Armageddon. That's a good one.
I saw it in theaters that my mom took me to, and then my dad found out after the fact that she took us to see it in theaters, and my mom got yelled at because I was, like, 9.
My friend's mom took us to see Not Another Teen Movie.
Oh!
Where there's a fully naked woman the entire movie, just walking around. Gosh. Like, the whole joke is that she doesn't wear clothes. So, my parents yelled at her parents when that happened.
It was Volcano. Mine was Volcano.
Oh, was that the one in LA?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Tommy Lee. Mm-hmm. Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, yes. the other Tommy Lee. I think mine was maybe From Dusk Till Dawn, if that's rated R, the Tarantino vampire movie.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but yeah.
Oh, it's got George Clooney in it.
Well, George Clooney was very attractive back then.
It's during his, like, Caesar haircut period of time, so, like, you know, take it or leave it, but
yeah. Good luck with on ER. But yeah, okay, so while this is happening, right, Kirk does a little rant about membership cards. Rory tells on the little kids. Lorelai gets a phone call from Emily. Mm-hmm. And Emily is desperate to get rid of Richard.
Emily sounds like there's an intruder in her home and she's like hiding and calling 911. Like, she is so panicked on this phone call. She needs him out of the house. He is driving her genuinely insane.
No, but, like, Emily straight up says, if you don't help me, I'll take you down with me.
Yes.
Like, she is serious about this.
Yeah, and she brings up, I pay for Rory's school. Yes. I co-signed on your loan. Like, she is pulling out everything.
The one mention of that episode. Mm-hmm. You have a house because of me.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, based on the way that Richard acts when he is in Stars Hollow, I totally understand where Emily is coming from.
Yeah.
I would not be able to handle being alone with this guy all day long.
This is going to sound like a really bad statement taken out of context, but, like, I love desperate Emily when she wants something from Lorelai.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I understand what you mean.
It's great comedy.
Well, it's also great to see, like, that power shift. Because mm-hmm. Emily is usually the one that has power. And Lorelai reacts the way that she does, I think, a lot of the time because she feels powerless, like, when it comes to her parents. And so yeah. for her to suddenly be the one that has power, it throws both of them off.
I will say that whenever it does happen, Lorelai usually agrees.
Yeah.
Like, Lorelai is usually like, okay, I will help you.
Yeah.
Lorelai talks a lot of crap about her parents, but when push comes to shove, 9 out of 10 times she's there for them and does what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the next morning, Rory's getting ready for school, and Lorelai is coming up with, like, kidnap plots. She's bringing everything to the table to try to keep Rory home.
Yep.
What would be the logic as to why Rory would be at home when Richard shows up? Rory's gonna spend the day with you. She's gonna skip school?
Yeah.
I don't feel like Lorelai thought that one out entirely.
Unless they were, like, going Rory to take did. A special trip or something.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't even think that they could get away with, like, parent-teacher conference day or it's a random day off because, like, Emily is already so involved in Chilton that, mm-hmm. like, if Rory was going to be home because school was closed that day, like, she would have mentioned it to Richard.
Yeah, but Richard is nicer to Rory. Like, that's
why Lorelai wants her there. She wants that Rory buffer.
Oh, I totally get Lorelai wanting Rory there. I just don't think she thought through the lecture that would come from Richard for having Lorelai or for having Rory there.
I will admit, I hated high school. So, well, hate is a strong word. I disliked it as much as anyone else did. And if I would have been given the opportunity from my mom to be like, take this day off, I would have taken it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rory's no much asked. More yep. responsible.
And she does head off to school. It's so awkward when just Lorelai and her dad.
They don't know what to do with each other.
No,
they don't. I'd say in this scene, Richard does a pretty good job of, well, you know, what do you normally do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need any special treatment. Let's just go about your day as normal.
Yeah, and they start reading the newspaper. They have different sections. Like, it's cute.
It seems like it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. This one scene is nice.
Yep. It does. They do go to Luke's, because obviously that's what Lorelai mm-hmm. would do next, right? Go to Luke's.
Yep.
And is it just me, but does Luke seem nervous when he comes over?
I don't know if he seems a little nervous.
No? It's just, like, the way he, like, comes over is not his usual... I don't know. I think he just saw Richard
there.
He's
more professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a guy with Lorelai. And I mean, he like vaguely knows Richard at this point.
He knows it's her dad.
Yeah. But like it's not like he's walking up to his regulars, you know. There's a new element.
Would they have not met at the dinner? Because like Richard
I guess they would
like,
have met at the dinner. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they would have met at the dinner, and granted, I don't know if Luke and Richard would have had any actual contact, but Luke did go to the hospital when
That's
he had
what
the
I was
heart
That's
attack.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true, actually.
So even if they're not, like, obviously buddy-buddy with each other, they would at least know who the other is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Richard already ate, and mm-hmm. you know what he eats every morning at 5:30 in the
Half
morning?
Half a grapefruit.
Yep, and you know what he expects Lorelai to eat every morning?
Half a grapefruit.
Yeah. This is, like, such an old thing, because I know I tried this growing up because it was, like, a thing that grandparents and older people did. Grapefruit, even if you put sugar on it, hot take.
Not great.
I love it. And you have to eat it with a special spoon, because otherwise it doesn't all come out.
I like grapefruit juice.
I remember in like my early to mid 20s, somewhere in there, I think it was when I was getting ready for the wedding, there was like a 3-day diet to help you detox and cleanse and you can lose 10 pounds. First of all, bullcrap. But one of the meals for breakfast was like half a grapefruit. And I tried it and it was awful. Isn't going to work.
It's just so bitter. Like at that point, I don't care what the benefits are. Like, especially, keep in mind, this is a woman who has ordered a full breakfast and usually eats Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. Lorelai is not a grapefruit woman.
Didn't she order, like, banana pancakes or something?
She did.
She's got some fruit in there.
My favorite thing is that Luke is like, all right, I'll go buy this freaking grapefruit. And you see him walk around the building.
I know.
It's so funny.
And you see him come out across the window behind him. But, like, Luke could have very easily said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then Lorelai could have very easily gone back to the table and be like, sorry, Dad, they don't have that here. I feel like that would have been the end of the conversation.
No, yeah, but then he would probably be like, what kind of reputable diner doesn't have a grapefruit? And then it would be a whole thing.
Which, speaking of, I'm from New Jersey, which is, like, the land of diners, right? We're, like, known for it. What kind of diner doesn't have a grapefruit?
Luke's. Because nobody orders it.
That's fair.
I guess.
That's my only thought.
But Richard is here. He's going to go see the town. He's going to wait until Rory comes home. Lorelai is going to finish working, and then they're going to have dinner. And that's the schedule that is planned.
Yep.
For the day.
For the day.
And I mean, does that sound like a ton of fun for Richard? Who's to say? But it's a plan.
Well, Lorelai is on her third reasonable. Cup of coffee, which is a very similar to Emily's third cup of coffee.
Like, almost the exact same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard gives that passive-aggressive, oh, that's a lot of coffee in the morning.
Judgment.
Yikes.
Richard's whole thing throughout this episode is that he's just making observations. But if you ever needed to, like, learn how to make observations in a way that is incredibly aggressive, take notes from Richard.
Don't do this.
Don't do this. We go back to Chilton, and Paris is Paris, and she's talking about that the reason why these other newspapers have gotten this award in the past is because there's been a human interest story attached to it. Mm-hmm. And she needs a small town that has a seedy underbelly. So,
she
of course,
decided, to blow open
is their win.
Stars Hollow.
Which Rory is immediately like, there's no seedy underbelly.
Yeah.
Like, there's just not.
I was curious about this for you guys. So I grew up in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a seedy underbelly, but you're only exposed to it if you're exposed to the people who are part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, I did not know about the seedy underbelly until I started hanging out with, like, the bad crowd or whatever in high school, like, through my brothers.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't anybody that I became friends with normally at school. So, like, even if Stars Hollow does have a seedy underbelly, like, is Rory gonna know about it?
That's fair. Rory would not be the person you ask for that kind of info. I feel like Paris is expecting to go into Stars Hollow and have it be like a Twin Peaks. You know, she's expecting, like, the grossest of the gross to be going on, and
like, she wants to see, look down the alley and see somebody shooting up.
Yeah,
I was thinking in my head
it to be dark,
like, she's expecting a meth lab somewhere.
Yeah. And my town is currently known for meth labs,
right? Sorry. I mean, that's, I grew up in Washington, that's like a thing.
My little town, not where I live now, where I grew up.
Would Jess be the seedy underbelly?
We're gonna get to Jess. I absolutely love his involvement in this episode, but Jess is honestly the seediest thing that we've come up against.
Right?
Here's the thing. If there was truly a seedy underbelly of Stars Hollow, you know Taylor would not shut up about it.
Right? Jess would have found it.
The
and Jess would have had friends.
Would have, like, they would always be about this stuff. Like, there are so many nosy people who would actively stick their nose into anything weird going on. We would know.
I mean, my counterpoint to that is Suki and Jackson accidentally grow weed in their garden.
Like, acres of it.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, no one knew. So maybe this does prove that there's not a seedy underbelly, because they didn't even know that it was weed.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, apart from, they grew it probably from seeds. I don't know how seedy that one is.
Well, Paris is coming to Stars Hollow no matter what. No matter what Rory says, she's going.
And unfortunately, that means that Rory is not going to be able to help out.
Mm. And Lorelai's having a tough time at the inn. The linen guy, Manny, has not arrived. So they have no tablecloths. They have no towels. And I really love this because if anyone's worked in retail and hospitality or any job like that, when you're working like this, like when you're like, oh my God, I have to do this and this and this and everything's going wrong, you and your coworkers get a bond. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's you against the world. And Michelle and Lorelai against the world is awesome.
Yes.
It is a team you do not want to go against.
No, you really don't.
I love when we get to see why Michelle is, like, in this position. Mm-hmm. Because so much of the time we see him just being, like, silly and ridiculous. It's like, no, he's really good at what he does.
Yeah. And, like, Lorelai is given alternatives, go to Patty's for tablecloth and get the pool towels. Like, she's on it.
I really like champagne. When you see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And she's giving Michelle orders. Michelle is, like, you know, doing them without a sarcastic comment. Like, it's really cool. I really like that.
And then
that
Richard
scene.
Comes in and is like, where's your jacket?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And lectures her, like,
in front of her employees.
Yeah. Well, Richard comes in and has completed the entire tour of Stars Hollow, including going into the cat shop twice.
And getting all the gnomes named by Babette.
I mean, that must have taken at least an hour.
Babette does love his chi. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was in this episode. This is in a different episode, but still.
Yeah, he just wants to see Lorelai work, just wants to read his paper, immediately goes for the jugular. Where's your jacket? Why aren't you professional?
Where's your work?
Doesn't
jacket?
Your boss care?
She's the boss.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. So
it is.
Yeah.
Like, up to this point, you know, like, Richard's going on about the grapefruit, whatever, like, could be health-based. Once he starts meddling in her work life, there's such a shift. And this episode is really great at showing, you know, like, depth and showing range. Because in this episode, Ed is most definitely the most frustrating man I've ever met. And he's also the most sad and, like, despondent man. So I love this episode for his acting, but I cannot stand behind Richard. Oh my gosh. When he lectures her in front of Michelle.
Michelle's dying in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to be fair, if, like, you saw your boss getting reamed out by their parent, that would be...
But for Richard to just spew out that he is the most professional person ever, and he's run a Fortune 500 company, and blah, 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 to grab his daughter and give her a personal lecture in front of her employees. Like, even if you want... I know he pulls her, like, I need to talk to you, and pulls her, like, 3 feet back. But, like, that is clearly not enough when her employee, person directly under her, is giggling in the background about what's being said.
And he even ends it with, okay, and I'll be sitting over here if you need my help or anything. Like, she's, like, a five-year-old child, and...
Right?
Oof. Yikes.
Yeah, and I mean, you can see, like, the shift in Lorelai as she just kind of gets to this point where she realizes, okay, this is how the day is going to be, and I'm just going to say, okay, you know, I'm just going to let it happen because the alternative is worse. But when he tells her, like, all right, now you go back to work, and I'm going to be over there if you need me, again, it's like he's talking to a child, and it's, the older I get, the more that I realize that I maybe do have a little bit of a problem with authority. I never did in my youth. I've always been the squarest square, the biggest rule follower. But the older I get, I'm like, you do not tell me what to do.
That's not a problem with authority. That's having a problem being patronized and talked down to.
Yeah. Ugh. This is a bad one.
Which Richard is a prime example of going forward here.
Because I don't want to get too much, like, too deep into it, but... Would Richard have done that to Christopher, or to a man, or
no?
Like, it's Lorelai. Where's your jacket?
Yeah,
I guess that.
In the future, we kind of get to see how Richard would approach a man, business wise, with Luke. Later on.
I was gonna say with Styles, with Digger.
Styles, yes, yeah, and then Luke. But he always has his jacket. Wanting to franchise the diner, that's right. Either way, Richard meddles in things he should not meddle in. It is prime Gilmore.
Speaking of meddling, Paris and Rory arrive by bus.
Mm-hmm.
Paris hates the bus.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised Paris got on the bus.
And she has a car.
I know that's part of the experience, but...
She does have a car. So what? Does she have to take the bus back?
Presumably, because Rory doesn't have a car at this point in the episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
How often does the bus run to Stars Hollow? Is Paris, like, sitting an hour on the bench waiting for the bus to show up to take her back to Harvard?
Guys, well, life before Uber sucked.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and they see a diner. Well, they see a diner. They see Luke's diner. But to Paris, it's a diner. And she thinks that it's going to be filled with prostitutes, truckers, and drug dealers.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. What else happens in diners in New Jersey? Well, I guess in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
I almost said New Jersey.
I love this interaction between Luke and Paris because I think that...
And Jess.
Well, when Jess comes in, but like specifically just like Paris being Paris and Luke being Luke, if these two could just like go off, that would be, I would love to see that. Early season, like witty Luke and Paris. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be fun.
Do you guys think that Luke actually thinks that her name is Angela?
Yeah.
Like, you do think?
Like, does Luke not know who Angela Lansbury is?
I think he's just playing along, because remember, this is still quick-witted Luke. We haven't quite dumbed him down enough.
I don't know. Like, the tone he uses when he says Angela just really sounds like he's trying to be personable. It doesn't sound like a sarcastic, okay, what do you want, Angela? Right?
And, like, I think of, like, my dad, and if, like, I would have told him my friend's name is Angela Lansbury, he would have been like, all right, her name is Angela. Like...
Yeah.
But
Angela Lansbury is. She's Murder, She Wrote?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I said that
Fun
was
fact,
way too much.
She's also Mrs. Potts in The Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. I said that was way too much confidence for something I don't actually know.
Hey, you know what? Fake it till you make it. We have a podcast, you know? We can do that. We can just say things.
Can
with
we?
Conviction. Yeah.
Just
Hello.
Murder, She Wrote. Okay, yes.
There we go.
Like,
see,
if
I was
we
right.
were a trio of dudes, that's all we would do. But the best part of this scene is absolutely, without a doubt, when Jess comes down from the back and Paris is like, where'd he come
Who are
from?
You?
Yeah, do you have a cat house upstairs?
Is that where the hookers are?
And like, and Jess is immediately so into it. He's like, where has she been all my life? Yes, I'm gonna play this bit.
I do like that he calls him Uncle Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, the first time.
I think he's just playing into it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't feel like it's a for serious Uncle Luke. I think it's a, I'm going to make this as dramatic as I can.
Well, he's playing innocent boy done wrong by his mean, dirty Uncle Luke in the cat house. And it's perfection. I love this side
I love
of, like... Funny Jess.
I love Jess playing along with jokes.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do too.
Like, not his jokes. Like, he sees a bit happening and he just jumps into it and goes for it.
It's honestly, like, he and Lorelai, like, are a good match when it comes to, like, being able to play into other people's jokes. And we don't get enough of it from Jess, or at least we haven't yet.
And Dean even mentions, like, in the whole conversation with Max, previous season, obviously, of, you know... when they're in one of their bits, just go with it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the way Dean talks about it, it's just let it play its course. It'll be done eventually. Deal with it. Whereas Jess is like, oh, there's a bit. I'm jumping in feet first. We're doing this.
Mm-hmm. I love so much when Rory starts dragging Paris out and Jess does that little wave.
Yep, he does his little mocking wave again.
When I was like, what, like 12 or 13 years old watching this, I was in love.
Swoon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
I'm still in love. And so that. We've already kind of jumped over Richard's lecturing of Lorelai. So what we can do is we can jump right into the next scene with Paris and Rory. So she has been dragged out of the diner.
Well, there's two Lorelai lectures.
Yes.
There's the jacket, and then there's an even bigger one after Lorelai gets the delivery.
Yes.
So, we go back to the inn. Michelle and Lorelai are trying really hard to do customer service. you know, here's champagne. We're very sorry. We're going to give you the towels. The first ones we get.
Like, mm-hmm. Constant complaints. Yes. From every direction, from their customers, from their guests.
Until Manny calls.
Yes.
And he has them. Well, yeah. No, and it seems like he doesn't have them. He has too many problems. It seems like he has
some towels.
Yes.
And so Lorelai does what she needs to do to secure their towels and linens.
And he will be there in 20 minutes.
Yes. And she knows that she needs to talk to him in a certain way. Yeah.
Job done well. Good job.
Except. Yeah. Richard overhears. He doesn't like the way she's talking. And she gets lectured. And we did kind of combine the lectures before. But, like, I feel like this is... Lorelai should have snapped right then and there. Yes. If I was Lorelai, I would have snapped right then and there.
Like, at the bare minimum, would have been like, I am the manager of this establishment. Like, I am managing. We are doing fine. And I need you to wait for me at home. Or I need you to go to the park with your newspaper. Like, you cannot be here anymore.
If you want to talk about unprofessional, this is incredibly unprofessional.
Yeah.
He has been in the inn one other time and had an absolutely fantastic experience with the Bracebridge dinner. Mm-hmm. So for him to come in after the fact and then start to berate Lorelai for apparently not acting professional enough with her vendors. Again, you know somebody and you work with somebody for 10 years. Like, yeah, it might be professional, but there's still going to be jokes and
you're familiar,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in a small town like this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to Richard. Paris and Rory. They're walking through town and Taylor Dozy steps out of that Stars Hollow video store to celebrate Rory's maturity and for asking for censorship.
This is the first, but not the last time, that Taylor Dozy will post a picture of Rory without her consent.
And this is, this was when I first noticed the GTA poster, was while Taylor was saying, thank you so much for your censorship. By the way, here's a GTA 3 poster in the window of the shop, which, not the best, but, like, you can pick up hookers in this game and then kill them. And have sex with them. This is not
a I don't think you can do it in that order, but yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, not
in that order.
Gosh, our darkest episode. We're so sorry. It was not meant to be this way.
No, and it gets better. Then they go inside in front of the Rory curtain. And do you know what movie poster is on the wall directly behind them?
Oh, I didn't notice.
Blow.
Oh, Johnny Depp. Did notice. Yeah, with Johnny Depp.
My goodness.
And earlier in the episode, that same movie poster was behind Kirk on a different wall. So does this mean they moved it? Or there are two posters of Blow in this tiny little video store?
Well, maybe this whole censorship movement is a multi-step process. First, they had to source the curtain material. Then they had to go through and remove all of the questionable VHS tapes, which is apparently everything besides Bambi and Dumbo.
Well, if you look around, they really did take.
Oh, like, yeah. No,
there's
like
barely anything out there.
And guys, this is Paris's story. This is the story.
This is it. Immediately small town censorship. And, I mean, pretty timely and topical for what's going on, like, right now in our country.
They're burning books. They're doing all this. And there's the joke about that later on, right? With Jess. Later on in the episode, we'll get to it, but, like, censorship is not good, and especially from two journalists, or really, Rory the journalist, to think that Rory had any part of censoring.
And she specifically says, like, that is not my thing. I am not pro-censorship. No. I am
vehemently against this.
What is that one with the girl in the back? The girl and the guy?
This one right here? Yeah. That's Blow.
Oh, is that the... Okay.
So, it's a poster for a movie about drugs of two people who most likely just or are about to do dirty things.
Interesting.
And it's so
I will say, it's still on the wall. When I used to go to the local video store, there was a curtain. But it was only for, like, XXX films.
Yeah. I don't know if... I don't think we ever had a local film store that I went to that had one, but I mean, like, it was common enough, you know, when we were growing up, that there would be a curtain, and behind the curtain were films that children should not have access to.
Oh, yeah. My town had 3 video stores at one point, we never actually had a Blockbuster either. But I specifically remember one that had a curtain, because I remember trying to peek through and see what was behind at one point.
I remember being like 11 years old and being like, so what's behind the curtain?
But usually it's not a full floor to ceiling, half of the business is curtained off situation.
I mean, the curtain was floor to ceiling, but no, there were not very many videos back there compared to the rest of the store.
I love Paris immediately dives into the story, and she asks Taylor, how long have you been working here? Which is a great question, because Taylor does not work there.
Yeah. I assume he owns this business as well.
Right? That's kind of the vibe that I got. Because Kirk certainly doesn't own it.
Or he's there as a government official.
Okay, hear me out here. Taylor owns random buildings throughout the town, right? And then he just puts Kirk as his assistant manager at every single one of them. And that's why Kirk has so many jobs?
It's nepotism. The real seedy underbelly is Taylor buying up all of the businesses in town.
Well, he tries to.
And forcing people out.
I don't know. There's something there. Paris, I agree with you. Write this story.
Yes, and apparently Paris is satisfied enough with her scoop that she lets Rory free. And so Rory gets to go home and save Lorelai. And
Lorelai is so pissed, man.
Oh, poor Lorelai.
Yeah. Lorelai is, like, at her wit's end. So as soon as Rory gets home, you know, she gives her a hug, and it's an extremely hard hug. Mm-hmm. But as soon as the hug is over, Lorelai literally shoves her into Richard. She's just like, he's yours. I am done with him.
I like that the Gilmore girls, or really Lorelai's, beer of choice is Heineken. Because that was the beer.
I love that Lorelai's immediate thing is, I need a beer.
Yeah.
Because Jess steals a Heineken, and then now she's drinking a Heineken.
Well, maybe they got a sponsorship.
Yeah, right? Good for you guys. Richard calls Lorelai spirited. Spirited. Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, you watch your daughter handle, even if you're not happy with the way that it was handled. Okay. But you watched her handle a crisis at her business and make everybody happy? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot one thing that I want to mention from that scene. This is very small. I really loved when Lorelai goes back to Michelle and goes, will you hit me over the head with a champagne bottle? And he goes, gladly. Or, like, immediately.
Yep. Like,
yes. Yes, I will. Sorry. Yeah. We can go back to this.
Well, I mean, you know, Lorelai is still like, I need space from him. Rory shows him her room. Yep. And... Mm-hmm. He immediately whips out a little notebook and he's gonna write down the books that she needs because there are gaps in her collection. And she shows him, I've got books under the bed. I got books in the drawers.
Mm-hmm. Where are her clothes?
Well, she keeps them in that other dresser.
In the closet.
Right?
Yeah, in the wardrobe.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. She has 2 dressers and a wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Richard is okay with Rory's disorganized, or organized chaos system. Mm-hmm. However, he's not okay with Lorelai's.
No, like, he also notices her Harvard obsession board, which essentially gives him more fuel or fodder for another attack on Lorelai.
I had to revise my notes like 3 times because I saw the Harvard board and then Richard doesn't say anything. I was like, does he just not say it? And then a couple minutes goes by and then Harvard. I was like, okay, so he does see him. Okay, scratch this out. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say anything. And then he goes and, attack Lorelai with it.
Well, also in this scene is they're going to order Chinese food from Al's Pancake World.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai comes over with a huge, we don't see it, but a lot of Chinese food, more than enough for 3 people. Mm-hmm. And this is gonna be criticism, sorry about it. Alexis's acting in this scene drives me insane every time.
How so?
Like, she reads the paper, oh no, this is good, yeah, add it. Like, it's just so, I don't know, I hate it. I hate it. I don't know what it...
To me,
it's like that 5-second,
To me, it felt like she was just trying to, she was trying to be, like, super casual, super normal. Like, this is our day-to-day life.
Yeah.
But
to me, it was just, like, she was trying to be, like, overly positive because she could pick up on the tension between Richard and Lorelai.
Yeah.
So she's trying to, like,
so is it bad acting or just really good acting?
Maybe it's a mix of both. But that, I mean, this is another point that, like, would absolutely drive me crazy. If I was ordering food, paying for the food, presumably, and somebody told me I could not order what I wanted to order.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and his big thing is that it's wasteful. That's too much food. And then while I was like, no, we order this much and then we eat it for like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't know if it's a great idea to eat Chinese food.
Unless you're leftover Chinese food like, a week and a half later.
Yeah.
But like Lorelai clearly says, no, none of this gets wasted.
Yeah.
Chinese food is great and cheap.
Well, it used
to be. I mean,
depending
on where you go.
Yeah.
But,
well, it goes from Chinese food to Harvard, and it goes from Harvard to Yale. And I believe this is the second time we've had, like, a big Yale mention. It might even be the first. Yeah. It's, like, one of the first, definitely. Where it's very obvious Richard wants Rory to go to Yale. And he
hate that he kind of implies that Rory could not get into Harvard.
He does.
Who's going to help her get into Harvard? Like, Rory doesn't need help to get into Harvard.
No.
Rory's going to get Rory into Harvard. And Rory doesn't need anybody's help to get into Yale either. Like, the implication is that you have to have a connection to get in, but, like, Rory's entire life is based around being able to academically prove herself able to go to one of these universities.
And although it is true that it's nice to have... connections help.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
We also see in the show an instance of connections not helping with Paris. So, like, it goes both ways. Like, just because you went there, Richard, doesn't mean that they would accept Rory. And just because you're not helping with Harvard doesn't mean they're not going to take her. So, like, backhanded compliments or just straight-up insults all around from Richard today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
and especially towards Rory in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, she's his golden child.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
drives me crazy.
Well, while this is happening, there's a bunch of honks.
Yes. The Chinese food does not even get ordered before.
Nope.
Here comes another reason to fight.
Basically, Rory starts freaking out immediately as the audience were like, what's going on? She opens the door. It always jars me because they leave without jackets and they exit with jackets. But like, it's such a quick scene that I'm like, when did you guys put on your jackets? Like, it's literally seconds and they have it on completely correct. It's so funny. Watch this.
No jacket.
Oh, it just, pulling it on as she goes out the door.
It's so funny. But yeah, they go out and it's Dean Forrester in front of a baby blue car. Looks beautiful, to be honest.
Which, I mean, it's been a while since we heard that car was being built, so he's been working on it.
Well, since
at this
breakup
point,
episode.
I kind of forgot about it.
I
don't want to agree with Richard.
I mean,
but I kind of gotta go with like building your 17-year-old girlfriend a car. Like, yeah, that's love bombing.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this in the breakup episode because, like, obviously that's when he presents her with the car initially, and we were like, is that an okay gift? And I think, again, I don't think that Richard is in the right in this conversation. Like, Lorelai as the parent is the one who gets to make this call. But I can see where you might have some hesitation or reservations about a car that somebody who is not a mechanic has built for your child.
I agree with you, Jess. I do think at this point it's an appropriate gift, though. Like, I actually think that Dean building the car for Rory is one of the cuter things that he did. And I'm a Dean hater.
I mean, I love the idea behind it. But like, you gotta put into account, like, I know Dean has a job.
He does. And goes
car
to school.
Car parts are not cheap, and even if you get everything from a junkyard, like, this is still probably $1,000 plus gift.
Oh yeah. It's a massive gift.
And, like, obviously Dean can do what he wants with his money, but, like, if my husband dropped a $1,000 gift on me without, like, consulting or saying anything about it, like, I'd be pissed. Granted, we have joint finances, so.
Yeah, I think there's a difference, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's your partner, he should be telling you that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Meanwhile, like, Dean lives 3 roads down. So, like, it's a different... But at the same time, I do see where you're coming from. And what's the expectations now, right? Of Dean, like, I gave you this gift that costs so much money. You have to stay with me? Or, like, it's kind of like a guilt kind of thing. Does that make sense? Am I...
Yeah, no, it does. Mean, what can Rory do in return?
Exactly.
To, like... And, of course, Dean's going to be like, oh, no, you don't need to do anything. But, like, it would feel
on the plus
unequal.
Side, we never see... Yeah. On the plus side, we never see Dean, like, try to do anything. Like, well, I got you this car, you know.
Yeah.
We never see anything like that, thankfully.
One of the few good things Dean does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's really funny that Dean gets to, like, be an adult again, right?
Yes.
Dean is an adult. Mm-hmm. We have... So, essentially what happens is Richard says, she can't have this car, and Dean is like, no, I'm giving her this car, and Richard wants to have it checked out.
Yeah. They go to Gypsy's.
Well, so Richard specifically asks, okay, so you're a certified mechanic? No. So, a certified mechanic help you build it? No. So it's been checked out by a certified mechanic? No.
But Gypsy
and
checked
then,
it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they go on, and Gypsy is so sick of this car.
Is Gypsy not
so
certified?
So clearly, it's been checked out.
Yes, which, hey, welcome to Gypsy.
I don't know. But
she works at Hughes Brothers.
But Jess, like you were saying, Dean is the adult, Rory's the child, right?
And yep. It's like...
And Richard treats him like that,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation they have about Rory feels like, again, two adults discussing a child. And it's
she's
so
naive.
Frustrating that she's, like, infantilized all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I have in my notes, like, Rory is a smart girl. And, like, Rory knows she's so responsible. She goes to school when her mom tells her not to. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a level of responsibility I did not have in high school. And
nope.
Dean is very intense about all of this. Which, I mean, I understand he put so much work into it. But, like, he goes toe-to-toe, and they're both so tall.
Yeah, and we get the exact line again, right? The how tall are you?
Yeah.
Why do you want to dance? But this time it's played
line.
A little softer.
I appreciate the offer, though.
I love it here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Richard's response to that.
Yeah.
Dean does admit that he loves Rory to Richard, and Richard responds
and Richard hates
kind
it.
Of like I would. Of like every time I like you, you
I
do something.
I almost liked you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gypsy checks it out. She even breaks the car, the windshields, in order to like come up with a little problem.
Get away from this
car.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls are waiting. Finally, the men, the man and boy arrive. I don't know anymore.
Yeah. The way they treat them, the men get home.
Yeah.
The men return.
And the car's fine. And Lorelai explodes.
Well, you know what? No, Dean doesn't even return. We don't see Dean. We only see Richard.
Oh, so, yeah, I guess.
Because I don't think Dean would have let Richard get away with, oh, well, there was a slight problem with the windshield wipers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dean's outside. Right?
Yeah, Dean's I assume outside. He's outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Lorelai sends Rory off to pick up the Chinese food.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
That's what happened.
You're correct.
And Lorelai explodes, guys.
Yeah, with, I mean, she has held it
justifiably.
In
justifiably.
Yeah, and Lorelai is just like, you cannot come in here. This is my town, my house.
Mm-hmm.
And his response is, thanks for the geography lesson. Which is harsh.
That's not what this is about.
No.
This is about Richard coming into town and undermining Lorelai at every single turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to do it at work. It's another thing to do it, like, in her personal life, just eating. But to Rory, overrule...
Yeah, as a mother.
Her parental, like, decision? Yikes.
In front of her.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory even, like, she hugs Richard and goes, oh, thank you so much. Like, because Richard is the one who's allowing this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, I mean, Lorelai is the one who can allow or not allow this.
Yeah.
Everything that Lorelai says is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for Richard in this position trying to figure out what he's doing now. But master manipulator to turn everything right back on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and then he has this, like, little monologue about, like, he never thought of life after retirement.
Yeah, he knows
so
that he's
so sad.
He says, "You have never invited me. Yeah. Like, do you think I don't know why I'm here?"
Like, Emily asked you.
To be fair, he was there for Rory's 16th birthday party.
Yeah.
And he's been there before.
But with Emily. Never mm-hmm. alone. And, like, I just, the acting was so good.
Yeah.
It was.
Like, this is, it's insane how good it was. And
he was a really talented actor, and he was a really good get, because I don't think that anybody else could have pulled Richard off the way he did.
No,
because,
I agree.
Like, he is so awful, right, leading up to this, and then you hear it and your heart breaks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to the end of the episode and your heart breaks even more.
Yeah.
Well,
I think him and Kelly Bishop were just truly, like, a perfect casting for those two roles.
Yeah.
That's why it's, like, it's hard to think that they could ever do a reboot. Because, like, mm-hmm. I don't think they could get these people again.
Yeah.
They were so good. But anyways, he, you know, he mentions the fact that, like, I was at the club at 3 o'clock drinking bourbon and playing cards. Who am I? Right? Mm-hmm. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
Right?
My thing with this, like, Richard, you're not wrong. And I understand you're having a crisis of, like, what do you do with yourself now? But this is not Lorelai's problem.
It's not.
Mm-mm.
This is not Lorelai's fault that you don't know what to do yourself, to do with yourself. And it is not Lorelai's fault that you decide to come in and try to overwrite literally every aspect of her life and take control of it.
Yeah.
There is an absolute reason she left.
I vote that we end this episode on a good note. So let's skip the next scene and go straight to the last scene and then come back.
I'm good with that.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
So
okay.
Richard arrives home. Mm-hmm. Emily mm-hmm. is ecstatic. Like, she's the happiest that she's been.
Yeah.
All episode.
She had a great day.
Oh, yeah.
And she's excited to have him home.
Mm-hmm. She's excited to gossip and tell him news and, like, have stories to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Richard lies. He just goes, yeah. You know, I had a great
day. He had
a
big dinner.
Mm-hmm. He ate Chinese. Oh, you love Chinese.
Which makes it so sad that he didn't get to have the Chinese.
Yeah. And he goes and he says that he's going to organize the stamp collection, because why not? He has the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to his office, and it's so haunting, him just
it
sitting
is.
Down and having
it's just
nothing
dark.
To do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It is so sad. Which is why I
feel so bad for him while also being mad at
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
It's very sad, which is why I wanted to leave off on a good note. So, rewind. Rory
goes to pick up Chinese
yeah,
food.
She's with her huge bag of Chinese food. And she sees the Citizen of the Month picture that Taylor put up.
I want to know why every time Taylor chooses a picture of Rory to put up, you know, both times, he always chooses one with her hair pulled back
right?
really tight. And it just, like, Alexis is obviously beautiful.
It's a very awkward.
The angle and the view, it's just, like, it's not the most flattering mm-hmm. picture. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that the one that you choose?
I mean, he's probably pulling it off of, like, a membership card or something, you know, like a Stars
yeah.
Hollow,
oh, yeah.
like, library card or something, you know?
Probably your Stars Hollow movie library card. Movie store card.
Oh, well, it would
but
probably be
way,
Lorelai's, but either way, yeah.
She is met.
Jess comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory's very frustrated by all of this.
Understandably so.
And Jess is just, yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah. But Jess is making fun of her, which is fair.
Yeah.
It is fair.
This
is a situation we made fun of. Yeah.
And I mean,
it's very flirty.
It's very flirty, and he's definitely trying to, like, also, I think he's trying to make her feel better about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, making mm-hmm. it funny rather than making it, like, yeah, you're literally the face of censorship in our small town.
And, like, still, though.
Like,
he does a really good job of making her feel better
oh,
about
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But still, she still has that, like, little bit of frustration. And he goes, don't worry, it's not going to be there for long. And
I want to know exactly what he's done.
And he just starts to walk away. And she's like, no, 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 no. Come back.
Yeah.
What did you do to Dumbo and Bambi?
I think that's the first time we've ever seen her, like, draw him. You know, like, mm-hmm. her ask him to
Oh, you know her, what? You know? I'm going to say this the second time. Because the first time was when he did the little chalk outline, right? And she mm-hmm. yells at him. And then he, like, starts to walk away. And then she's like, no, no, come back. And
okay, he's like,
oh,
yeah.
Second wind. Second wind.
Second yeah, time.
Second wind.
And she offers him an egg roll, which he does not get.
No.
If you offer
That's
me an
he
egg
yells,
roll.
You owe me an egg roll at the, as you're as he's walking away.
I'm taking an egg roll. There is no way you can ever offer me an egg roll, and I'm not immediately going to be like, okay, now.
Right now.
When I was a teenager, and I used to read fan fiction on Jess and Rory, yes, I did do that, it was always like, the book was always dedicated to Rory, and it would be like, you owe me an egg roll, or like, this is for the egg roll, or something Aww. Like that, yeah. I wish that would be canon. It was not.
Well, hey, it can be canon in your heart, and that's what matters. Yeah. Either way, Jess has set up a sneaky surprise for whoever rents Bambi or Dumbo.
He switched to VHSs, which is so funny.
Mm-hmm. I can only assume that he did not rewind it, and it'll cause a massive town outcry.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, be kind, rewind.
Be kind, rewind.
Yeah. But yeah, and they're very cute.
They yeah. are. It's
they
flirty.
Were cuter than
She's
Dean
flirty.
And Rory. And Dean built oh, her yeah. a car.
Well, because, like, Dean shows up and it feels like he's a grown-up and he's giving her, congratulations, honey, here's your car. Like, it just, their relationship has lost its cuteness. And yeah. it will continue to lose its cuteness as we get more and more cuteness with Jess.
But that's a, mm-hmm. Something that just came to me was, like, she did have two acts of services done to her, and yet she was happier with the second one. With just the fact that he switched out VHS tapes, she was smiling.
That doesn't include $1,000 gift, no. plus mm-hmm. gift.
Just
All
the CD
underbelly.
All you have to do is
scar some children. And you've wiggled your way into Rory's heart.
Well, then that was the episode. I liked this episode. I think the acting is great at times mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I will say, like we said in the beginning, when Emily came to Stars Hollow, it was a little bit more impactful.
Yeah
Richard was just a
say,
more
I like this episode, but yeah, Richard is infuriating mm-hmm. in this episode.
Yeah, because in Emily in Wonderland we have her, like, obviously freak out about the potting shed, but like that comes mm-hmm. from a different place than mm-hmm. where Richard's frustrations come from in this episode. Yeah. So.
Well, Emily's comes from, oh, they've cut me out of their life this much, and this is what they went to, was this horrible tiny little shed they'd rather live in than be with me. Richard's is literally, what do I do with my life? Woe is me.
Right? It's,
I'm going
I
to
have
try to control everybody around me now.
Now it's your problem. Yeah.
Who is the townsperson of the week? Because I can definitely tell you it's not Richard. But
wouldn't that be a hot take?
Yeah.
Richard comes in and changes everything and he's the best. No, actually, my thought was Lorelai.
That was my thought.
Yeah, I think it kind of has to be Lorelai.
Mm-hmm. She defends herself. Like, she handles him. She, wow. She handles him. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
She handles the criticism. Mm-hmm. Very well and very professionally in her place of work.
Yeah.
And still does not go off on him when they get out of that place of work. She just tries to put it behind her until, obviously, the car shows up.
Mm. Yeah.
In which case, then she puts him in his place.
But yeah. even before
or at least
that,
attempts to.
She does it in, like, a very controlled way mm-hmm. where she's like, mm-hmm. I'm about to get very mad at you. And then she states yeah. her case. So, yeah I think Lorelai, it's like, she deserves a medal of honor for this episode. Mm, she was really
agree.
Fighting.
I will say, I do think Rory still had a really good episode, too.
I agree. Yes. She was
I
my
just
second
think
choice.
Lorelai outshines her.
Honestly, my yeah. second choice was Jess, but I was like, oh, he was only in it for like 2 seconds, and it was just to control people.
We're getting closer to more Jess. Slowly yeah. but surely.
Well, and the final scene of Jess is, I did this to scar children for you. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, isn't that romantic?
Rory sure the thinks romance. So.
Ask the child's parent.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, ooh. Mm.
But yeah, so congratulations, Lorelai, on this week's
yay
episode.
And up next, we have References with Sandra.
Weekly References with Sandra. Weekly References with Sandra.
All right, so for this week's reference, I'm actually going to focus on the movie marathon that Rory and Lorelai end up getting, which is the bad one, because I thought that would be funnier. And the first movie they mention is Cool as Ice. Now, anyone born in the 2000s may not have ever heard of Vanilla Ice, and that's fine. Honestly, it's fine. But Vanilla Ice was just like white boy rapper in the 90s. He had a song that he basically plagiarized off of a Queen's Under Pressure. Oh, and Bowie?
Under Pressure was Freddie Mercury and David Bowie.
Okay, yeah. So
that is one of the versions on my music list. Continue.
Vanilla Ice, this rapper, this was his feature film debut. It is, the plot focuses on Johnny Van Owen, a freewheeling motorcycle-riding rapper who arrives in a small town and meets Kathy, an honor student who catches his eye. Meanwhile, Kathy's father, who is in the Witness Protection Program, is found by the corrupt police and he escaped from years ago. It was, like, developed for Vanilla Ice to make him this big star. It was a box office bomb. They made this movie for $6 million and it only grossed $1.2 million.
Oh no.
Which I need you to understand how little that is.
Yeah.
That is.
Have either of you seen this movie?
No.
I have seen this movie. Let me tell you, if you have ever at any point thought, that Vanilla Ice guy is kind of cute, watch this movie. You are the target audience. Because this is a musical romance? Like a rom-com? I don't know.
It's my pride. That's my bread and butter.
If you can get your hands on it for free, do not pay for this movie. I think it's fun. It's stupid, but it's fun.
Well, when this project was being developed, the main role of Kathy was offered to Gwyneth Paltrow, but her father forbade her from accepting it because he thought it could hurt her career. And it probably would have, to
honestly,
be honest.
Yeah.
So... but yeah, it was a horrible movie. It won for Worst New Star for Kristen Minter, the woman who actually played Kathy. But it was nominated for like a million Golden Raspberry Awards, which is like the Razzies, mm-hmm. right? Not the best movie. So that's number one on the list. Number two is Hudson Hawk. And Hudson Hawk is a Bruce Willis movie. Have either
How
of you guys
you
watched
How can you go
this?
Wrong with Bruce Willis?
I have not seen Hawk. No.
Well, this live-action film employs cartoon-style slapstick comedy, including sound effects, and it makes it, like, into just awkward kind of thing. It's not funny. The plot itself is about conspiracy theories, secret societies, which sounds cool. Right, but then
So you said it takes. You say it's live action, but there's like some animation in it.
No, it's like the style is like an animation. So like they have sound effects and they have stuff like that. Where it's like if you were watching a cartoon, but it's live action.
It made me think of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit if they were trying to like recreate that with a different cast. I've never seen Hudson Hawk, so I have no idea.
I've never seen this either. No one did.
Except for the Gilmores.
It received 3 Golden Raspberry Awards for director, screenplay, and picture. although Bruce Willis was nominated as Worst Actor, and then Supporting Actor and Supporting Actress were also nominated.
Man.
Yeah. It was nominated for everything. But people thought that this movie was, like, the people behind the movie thought it was going to do well because Die Hard had just come out, and this was going to be another action movie. Well, it only...
How can you go wrong with Bruce Willis in the early 90s?
It only grossed $17 million in the U.S. and Canada. However, it grossed $80 million outside of the U.S. So people overseas really liked it.
Sometimes that's how it goes.
Yeah. I can't tell you what it's about. I try to read this plot. It does not make sense to me. Someone watch this movie and tell me what the hell is going on. And then the last movie is Breaking to Electric Boogaloo, which is a common joke that I hear all the time whenever, like, someone says a sequel is, like, mm-hmm. Electric Boogaloo. Because it is a sequel to the movie called Breaking, and it's a breakdancing film. There was actually a sequel to this as well called Rappin'. All of these wow. without G's, by the way. Breakin', Rappin', or known as Breakdance 3 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh my gosh.
But none of these have, like, a connective plot. The only thing is Ice-T is in every single movie, and Ice-T is, of course, the actor from SVU. And this movie is three main dancers from Breakin' struggle to stop the demolition of a community recreational center by a developer who wants to build a shopping mall. This movie also did really badly. It grossed $15 million in the U.S. and Canada. They don't even mention the European numbers, so I can only assume that it was horrible.
They don't exist. Yeah.
It has a rating on Rotten Tomatoes of 29%.
Oof.
But it does not look like it actually won any Razzies, so it has something on the other two.
I mean, it made 15 times as much money as Cool as I
Exactly. So yeah, and the legacy of this film is that it has become, like, that nickname to denote a sequel. So, like I said before, people will say, blah, 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 2, Electric Boogaloo. And it gets made fun of most of the time. What the hell does Boogaloo mean?
It doesn't need to mean anything.
You know what? Dance. Yes, you're right. Apparently it's a movement.
It could just mean anything. Emily has pulled up a clip of this movie while Sandra's been discussing it.
It seemed appropriate.
There is a dance fight with nunchucks versus trash can lips happening. So if nothing else, just look for a few clips on YouTube because
oh, this look seems at that. Like
quite a little thing.
There's a lot of studs.
And this is without music.
Yeah.
Like, I have it silent, so it's just people dancing to silent air.
There's a lot of 80s hair.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I love it. It's great. But yeah, these were the three bad movies that they watched. If anyone wants to have a bad movie marathon, these are the movies that I recommend to watch. The Gilmore Girls obviously enjoyed them, so I'm sure you will mm-hmm. too, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, I unironically enjoyed Cool as Ice, so take that with a grain of salt.
Well, after references, we have Emily, and Emily is going to be talking about a different movie altogether. So, off to Emily.
Books, movies, and music with Emily. With Emily.
Okay, so to continue this movie marathon, I am going to talk about Showgirls. So this is the movie that the two boys are looking at the cover on that starts the whole censorship debacle. This might be getting a resurgence. I have no idea. Did you guys ever watch Saved by the Bell?
I did.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a 90s TV show, mm-hmm. and I know the 90s are coming back hardcore, so I don't know if Saved by the Bell is getting a resurgence or not. I wouldn't be surprised.
Zach Morris is, like, the worst human being ever.
Well, yeah. Anyway. So Showgirls, the main star of this movie is Elizabeth Berkley, mm-hmm. who played Jesse Spano in Saved by the Bell.
I'm this so was excited. Like, sorry.
Exactly. And it gets darker. Yeah. Just as a reference that I'm so excited, Jesse starts doing speed to be the perfect student. Yeah. Anyway, Elizabeth Berkley, this is supposed to be like her breakout role post Saved by the Bell. And it bombs her career for decades. Mm-hmm. Just to start this off. So the description is, Nomi, Elizabeth Berkley, arrives in Las Vegas with only a suitcase and a dream of becoming a top showgirl. So, dancer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I took that. She quickly befriends Molly, who works at the high-profile Stardust Hotel, and lands a job at a seedy strip club. A chance meeting with Crystal, the Stardust's marquee dancer, and her powerful boyfriend, Zach, brings Nomi one step closer to realizing her dream. But as she ascends to the top, Nomi begins to wonder if it's all worth it. So, Elizabeth Berkley's character becomes a stripper, which is nothing wrong with that at all. But gets into a very tough crowd. There is a legit rape scene in this movie.
Yikes.
But not on her, but on one of the other characters. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Berkley could not get a job after this movie. It bombed so bad.
Oh, man.
Nobody wanted her after this. So we were talking about the Razzies. This show was nominated for a record at the time, 7 Raspberries.
Oh, wow.
Or, I'm sorry, it won 7 Razzies. Oh, okay. It was nominated for 13.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally every category. This, I believe, was the first movie that had Verhoeven. Paul Verhoeven. He was the director, I think. He accepted the Razzie.
Oh, wow.
This was the first time anybody actually showed up to accept the Razzie. It did get a little bit of a cult following, not quite as much as they probably would have liked, but this was the first movie that had a massive release, and it was rated NC-17.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is 75% naked Elizabeth Berkley. That's almost the whole movie, is her naked.
Wow.
A lot of sex, a lot of bad language, unfortunately some sexual violence as well. I guess theaters hired extra staff to make sure nobody under 17 got into the theater to see this movie, because it was, I think, the first and also still to this point the only NC-17 widely released movie.
Interesting.
However, its budget was $45 million. It grossed in the box office overall $37 million. It was also banned in multiple countries, mm-hmm. as I'm sure yeah. is not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But it made more than $100 million on video release and rentals.
Oh, I'm sure. Because people don't want to admit that they want to see it.
Yeah.
Boobs, butts, boobs. Mm. Vagina.
Wasn't there like a Lindsay Lohan movie that was similar to this?
Was there?
Yeah, it was like, I think it's like one of the last movies she made where she was a stripper as well. I Know Who Killed Me. I think that's what it was called.
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh,
no, nope.
I have not followed her career trajectory for a long time.
I think that movie also
was specifically mentioned.
Yeah.
Verhoeven appeared and accepted his Razzie for Worst Director. Apparently, the movie was then soon tied with Battlefield Earth for winning the most Razzies in a single year, a record that was not broken until I Know Who Killed Me,
yeah.
won 8.
It was, like, super bad, and it was also the same concept. I do remember that, because I used to really love Lindsay.
Yeah.
I mean, I still do.
I Know Who Killed Me, 2007 American psychological thriller, starring Lindsay Lohan. Neil McDonough. I like Neil McDonough. A young woman who is abducted and tortured.
Oof. Yikes.
That's yikes.
Dark.
This is These a dark episode. Dark. You're right, Jess.
We didn't plan this. We're very sorry.
There were quite a few women up for the main cast, mm-hmm. Up for Nomi's role, including, like, I think I read Sharon Stone, Charlize Theron. Oh, who are the other
Charlize
ones?
Charlize Theron is such a great actress.
She is. Oh my gosh, I could talk about Mad Max all day long.
Mm.
Charlize Theron, Pamela Anderson,
oh.
Angelina Jolie, Denise Richards. All absolutely gorgeous women.
Mm-hmm. Big names.
But big names now. Mm. This movie came out in 1995. I guess they did not go with Charlize Theron because she was virtually unknown and they wanted somebody who was a little more well-known at that
was
point in time.
Was Sharon Stone already in whatever movie she was in where she flashed?
Okay, so I'm sorry. I had that wrong. Verhoeven had recently discovered brought out Sharon Stone in his previous movie. So that's why so many large name actors and actresses wanted to work in this movie, mm-hmm. because he literally, like, just...
Has she already done Basic Instinct?
I think that's the movie that he directed that brought her out in. And so everybody was like, well, it's him. It's this guy who just did this great movie. I want to work with him in this movie. And it ends up bombing and killing nice. Elizabeth Berkeley's career. And then I'm annoyed at this. So in, like, 2014 or 15, Paul Verhoeven finally came out and he's like, no, I told, like, Elizabeth Berkeley got reamed for all of her over-the-top acting and that she did a horrible job. And so he comes out 20 years later. He's like, yeah, but I told her to do it.
Oh, man.
Like, I told her to act this way. Probably could have said that after the movie came out and maybe helped the girl out, but nope. If you want to see Elizabeth Berkeley recently, she plays a small role in New Girl.
Oh, was she?
As a school principal.
Oh, nice. Oh, good for her.
She's.
I love New Girl.
She's not very nice in that role either. Careful. But apparently everybody who has worked with her has had absolutely nothing but wonderful things to say about her.
I did like her on Saved on the Bell. Say, wow, I did too. Say that right. Saved by the Bell. There you go.
But yeah, that was Showgirls. Would not recommend it. No question. Would not recommend it. But yeah, Showgirls. Don't watch it. After that, we have Fashion with Jess.
Making fashion choices. Making fashion choices. Making fashion choices with Jess.
Wow. How do you follow that?
Very easily. With fashion, we set the bar very low.
So this episode was kind of so-so on fashion again. No real standout pieces, but there were a couple of pieces that were worth mentioning. So in our first Friday night dinner, Lorelai wears a baby blue wrap cardigan with a blue trim. And I thought this was really fun. We're seeing a lot of the early 2000s and late 90s clothes come back right now. But I don't know if we've seen the wrap sweaters quite the way that they were prevalent during that time period. I think wrap is a really flattering style. Wrap sweaters, wrap dresses on a lot of body types. And I would honestly love to see more, like, wrap fashion come back in. During that same dinner, Rory is wearing a blue and green three-quarter length sleeve top. And that also got me thinking about the prevalence of three-quarter length sleeves during this time period.
I missed them.
I don't know what it was. Something about this time period, short sleeves where you were showing, you know, like mid-forearm all the way down, were super in. And I don't have super long arms, but I have, I'm 5'8", I'm pretty tall. That sleeve length never looks quite right on me. And it also, it's frustrating when you put on a coat and then like half of your arm is cold because it's getting the cold air. Either way, it was fine. Nothing to write home about. It's got some kind of embellished, embroidered spots on it.
I miss three-quarter sleeves. I just want that to be known. I want them back.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, it's an easy modification if you buy a long sleeve top.
Sure.
And I think that you do see them now and then.
I will say, Lorelai is giving me Emily here. Emily Gilmore. Like, the same, like, deep V-neck kind of thing. That's kind of usual vibe.
Yeah. Emily rocks a deep V, like, in a very tasteful way all the time, and I love that for her. She does it today at this particular Friday night dinner in a black and white skirt suit ensemble. It's really cute. Richard, when he finally shows up in this first dinner, last week, Rune was our sad beige little man. This time we have a big beige man, and it's Richard. He's got a camel on camel where the sweater and the suit jacket that he's wearing are literally the exact same color. You guys know I love a monochromatic look. I don't think I love this look. It's a little too beige for me.
Real quick, Jess.
Yeah.
Not to correct you, but just because I think it's super funny. The beige man, the sad beige man, was two episodes ago. Last week's episode does exist. Yeah,
it was Brace Bridge. It was Brace Bridge dinner.
Secrets and Loves is an episode.
Technically an episode.
It does exist.
Barely remember it. For outfits that are not quite as great, Lorelai's work shirt, she is doing that ruffle thing again, which we've commented on before. This time it's a purple, kind of like lavender. It just, it looks like it should be under like a
suit jacket.
Early 2000s, like boy going to prom with a bad tuxedo. Like, that's the kind of Ruffles we're talking about.
Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber?
It just, it looks, I again, it's it was bad. Very much of its time. I don't like it. I don't think it's very flattering. And it's apparently bad enough that Richard thinks it needs to have a jacket over it. So take that with a grain of salt. When we see Jess at the diner, Jess is wearing a long-sleeved camo, kind of like thermal. Looks great. We've commented a couple of times on the things that Jess wears. When he wears a fitted shirt, I am here for it. He looks great. And also, it reminds me, camo in the 2000s in any color was hot. Pink camo, purple camo, that light blue camo, which is where you were like, I'm girly, but I'm not like a pink camo girly. I'm like a blue camo girly. I think I had blue camo.
I hated it then and I hate it now.
Yeah, I hated it then too.
But it was really hot then.
Is Jess repeating an outfit?
I don't know if we've seen him in this.
Is this not? I thought that's what he wears in the first episode he's in.
Potentially, but also.
Oh, under that vest?
Yeah. Maybe. He had such a small bag of clothes, so who knows what the size of his actual wardrobe
is. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
The two fashion choices or moments that I am most excited to talk about actually happen in the same scene, and that is our censorship scene. I'm focusing today on Taylor and Kirk. Taylor is winning my best dressed of the episode. So, Taylor has a new oatmeal cardigan.
Hey.
Sorry, Ellen. I know you want me to leave this cardigan alone, but here is a great example. The man can still have a staple style, but he can change it up. This is a different cardigan because it does not have the leather elbow patches that his previous cardigan had. And I just think it's nice to see a fresh look on this man while he imposes censorship on his small town. And my worst dressed is Kirk in this scene.
That's fair.
Kirk, unfortunately, is being done really dirty by the uniform of this particular job, which is a very small yellow vest. It looks like a child's yellow vest that Kirk has put on.
I can only assume it is.
And he's got a tight gray turtleneck underneath a red crew neck ribbed sweater. The entire look altogether is very much like, it feels like something that Tom Hanks would have worn in Big, where like, I'm a kid trying to wear a grown-up outfit. It makes Kirk look like he's a teenager working, and we know Kirk is not a teenager. Mm-hmm. Kirk is a grown man.
And then, at least honestly, in his late 20s?
Yeah, I mean, he has so many jobs. He's got to be at least, what, 25 to be able to be certified for all of these things?
How old is Kirk?
I mean, he has to be late 20s.
Yeah. I would say he's got to be kind of around Lorelai's age.
Sean. What's his name? I know his name.
Gunn.
47, so he would have been 27.
Okay, so yeah, late 20s. Mm-hmm. But he does look like a teenager in this episode, and that's not what he is supposed to be. And then my steal item for the episode appears at the very end when we see Rory and Jess together. I have not wanted to steal any of the shearling jackets until now. Jess's denim shearling jacket looks so good on him that it makes me think that I could pull it off. And that is saying something. When somebody looks so good in something that you're like, I hate the style, but I'd wear yours. And if Jess offered me his, ooh, I'd wear it in a heartbeat. I'd sleep in it, never take it off.
They're matching shearling.
Yeah, there was a lot of shearling in this episode. Yeah. When we told you guys
foreshadowing
at the beginning of the podcast that there would be a shearling takeover, we're in it.
Yeah.
Shearling is everywhere.
My small little fashion note is about the uniforms, about Rory and Paris. I like that Rory wears the knee highs and Paris wears tights.
It's the other way. I think Paris wears the
knee highs. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Rory wears the tights.
It's the other way.
I remember specifically thinking, I think Rory looks a lot better with the tights than with the knee highs. Mm-hmm.
So that was a big debate when I was in school is, are you wearing tights? Are you wearing knee highs? And knee highs never worked for me. So I always wore tights.
Yeah.
Right? And they were so much more comfortable because then you didn't have to worry about your skirt as much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought as like a little, as a private school girl myself, I was like, oh, I like the representation.
Good. Yeah, I was hoping, because I feel like when we have episodes where we have a lot of Chilton, mm-hmm. I don't have a lot to comment on because they're all wearing uniforms, but they are mm-hmm. always subtly wearing slightly different uniforms yeah. and wearing them in ways that kind of show off their personalities. So thank you for your little input there. But yeah, yes. that is my best, my worst, and my steal of the episode. Shouts out to all the Taylor stans out there. Your boy finally won. We had to hold out for a long time, but it's finally his turn, his chance to shine. Kirk Yay. With the worst, Jess with the steal. So, after fashion, we have Stars Hollow Speaks.
All right. So for Stars Hollow Speaks, we actually have some comments on the Bracebridge dinner. So 2 episodes ago. Last episode did exist. And there's 2 comments. First from To Earth from Pluto. Love it. Another fun podcast, ladies. Thank you very much. And then from Yay. Give Me My Coffee, commentary on the Liz tip. She has been a mess, and I think the reason she doesn't want Jess to move back home is because she knows she is unfit. Luke is the one who fixes her messes, hence sending Jess. We see the projection later on TJ when she gets pregnant with Dula, terrified she will screw up this baby even though she's in a more stable place. That's a good point.
Yeah.
We could definitely, like, give her that benefit of the doubt of, like, maybe the reason she didn't want Jess home was because she knew at this point she could not handle Jess. Rather yeah. than she just did not want Jess. With Luke. Yeah. So, thank you so much.
Makes sense.
For those messages. Yeah. Sorry we missed them the first time around.
We also got some messages from Lori on Instagram, and Lori said, I just started listening to your podcast. I have a few behind-the-scenes things I've learned about while following other TikToks and podcasts. So TikToks from Valerie Campbell, the key set costumer for Gilmore Girls for most of the series. Her TikTok, she watches all episodes live and discusses behind-the-scenes goodies and more. Drella, played by Alex Borenstein, was originally cast as Suki. Alex does come back for a couple of episodes as Miss Celine. I know that I'm looking forward to Miss Celine. I love Miss Celine.
Miss Celine is wild to me.
Miss Celine is Emily Gilmore's personal stylist. She knew classic Hollywood celebrities like Marlene Dietrich, Ginger Rogers, Olivia de Havilland, and Marilyn Monroe. She helped Emily decide on a wedding dress for Emily and Richard's vow renewal. And Alex and Jackson were married in real life from 1999 to 2017.
Oh, so I never knew they divorced. I'm yeah, actually sad
I,
now.
Yeah, I didn't know they divorced either.
Well, thank you, Lori. And I bet that is the person that I have seen pop up on TikTok. So thank you for sharing her name, Valerie Campbell. If anybody else is a Gilmore fan on TikTok, it's really interesting to watch her stuff because she was there and she remembers.
Cool.
Very cool. And then final, a little bit of feedback for today's episode when we asked your opinions. We heard from Lisa. She says, the nuance of complicated, imperfect people is executed so well in this episode. How infuriating Richard comes off with Lorelai at work in the car, even if he did have some valid concerns. I'm almost on board with Lorelai's confrontation. But that last scene, after lying to Emily about eating and sitting alone in his office, my heart breaks for him. Yeah. Says, I also enjoy the observation that Lorelai and Emily drinks the same number of cups of coffee in the morning, and the censorship storyline is less amusing in our current climate.
Agreed.
Definitely.
I gotta say, 3 out of 3 yeah. agree there. Yeah. The same number of cups of coffee.
Plus one. Because they both...
Plus one?
Yeah, they both have 3 cups.
Oh, they both get one right afterwards.
Yeah. So it's actually 4.
Oh, yeah. But yes, Lisa, thanks so much for writing in. Hard agree with all of that.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody who wrote in. Mm-hmm. We love hearing about specific things from episodes. We love hearing general thoughts. So please keep them coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Keep them coming. Don't forget, we have email, Twitter, Instagram. They'll all be listed at the end of the episode.
Yep.
Or also reviews. Reviews are good, too.
Yes. They are. We love good. Reviews. Review us on... Oh, and we actually just got our podcast onto Amazon's podcast service. So,
yes.
Another place for you to listen to us if you listen to a podcast there.
Well, to end up this episode, as always, we talk about coffee. Mm-hmm. And I have a question for you guys. There is a thermos in the beginning of this midway through this episode that Rory has. Are we counting that as a cup of coffee?
Does she drink out of it?
She takes it with her. She does not sip. But it is implied.
Like she doesn't drink.
That she has it, yeah.
We have to do on-screen sips. I think that's kind of our rule, right?
Yeah. So, if we don't count it, then Rory only had one cup of coffee, and Lorelai had two cups of coffee. So, a coffee light episode.
An on-screen episode. Coffee light. We know at least three cups were had before yes. our count starts.
On-screen,
I was almost going to say we should do a coffee count for Emily this week, too.
You know what? I toyed with it. I was like, Emily drank four cups of coffee. But technically, she only drinks one cup of coffee on screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And then screams for another.
Yeah. But yeah, so coffee light. Next week's episode is, doesn't have any coffee or too much coffee, I think. Next week, we have baskets. So that is extremely exciting.
Tisket
a tasket. I love that episode.
It's like so exciting to be getting into the episodes that I've been actively waiting for since we started the podcast.
But yeah, this was this episode. Hopefully a little bit more memorable than last week's episode.
I mean, it definitely happened.
Yes.
It definitely did happen.
There's no question there, at least.
She does have a car at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just a reminder, next week we are off. We are not going to have a new episode, but we will have a new episode the following Thursday.
And thank you to everybody who has been super cool with us and our new schedule. It just gives us a little extra room to breathe, and we really appreciate it.
Yep. So thank you for listening. I was Sandra.
I was Jess.
And this is Emily. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
So, bye.
Bye. Thanks again so much for listening. As always, we do love to hear from our listeners. You can reach us on Instagram at townmeetingpod, send us an email at townmeetingpod@gmail.com, or you can now support us at buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting. Thanks, guys.